Fox and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump calls his talks with Vladimir Putin on ending the war in Ukraine productive. CBS's Stacey Lynn.
The leaders agreed to begin negotiations to end the war immediately. They'll take place in the Middle East. Up first will be a limited ceasefire on energy and infrastructure. The Kremlin called the conversation detailed and frank.
Ukraine's president says he needs more details about the talks. Israel resumed airstrikes in Gaza overnight.
Hamas cannot be part of the future in the Gaza Strip.
Israel's angry Hamas won't accept a Trump ceasefire deal. Two astronauts stranded in space are coming back to Earth. CBS's Mark Strassman reports they'll be splashing down soon off the coast of Florida.
A helicopter will lift them up, take them over to the Florida Panhandle, and then they'll be put on a NASA jet and taken over to Houston for a reunion with their families for the first time in almost 10 months.
CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The state has seen 68 wildfires in just the past week, burning 937 acres and counting. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot has more on the biggest blaze in the state in Green Lake County.
In the town of Seneca, the Big Island Fire has burned an estimated 745 acres. Crews were dispatched to the White River Marsh State Wildlife Area right around 4:30 in the afternoon. This is exactly when the winds were gusting up to 40 miles per hour, helping spread the fire, which is currently being held on the south side of County Road D. Two residents have been evacuated, with six structures threatened. The Wisconsin DNR also says that there have been no injuries and that the fire is under investigation. No DNR or private-approved prescribed burn was in the area at the start of the fire.
The Department of Public Instruction has unveiled a site to track federal funding impacts. Joanne Krulantz has more info.
The page provides real-time updates, critical information, and resources related to federal funding for public schools and libraries across Wisconsin. Available tools also include real-time updates on current funding cuts at the federal level and an interactive map to view data specific to your school district. Resources also include personalized flyers that highlight the effects of federal funding for each district. More information is available on DPI's website.
The spring election is just 2 weeks away on Tuesday, April 1st. A photo ID is required in order to cast your ballot. If you don't have an approved photo ID, such as a driver's license or state ID, you can get one at the Wisconsin DMV. Start online at wisconsindmv.gov or call your local DMV during office hours. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
A setback for the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks' backup center, Jericho Sims, will be out for at least a month. Sims had surgery yesterday in New York after suffering torn ligaments in his right thumb. It happened early Saturday night against the Pacers. Sims, after the game, his right hand all taped up.
It happened the first few seconds I was in. I got caught on another player when I was cutting him off. Physical is just boxing out. I mean, that's something that we usually are good at, but, you know, it's certain teams we kind of struggle with.
The Bucks open a five-game road trip tonight against Golden State. March Madness, the Wisconsin Badgers head to Denver for their game Thursday afternoon against Montana. Marquette will face New Mexico in Cleveland on Friday night. Baseball, the Brewers losing to the Padres 14-8 out in Arizona. Infielder Bryce Terang sitting out with a sore shoulder. For now, it looks like Joey Ortiz will start at shortstop on opening day. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Data shows that after a child turns 9 in foster care, they are much less likely to be adopted. But the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption believes every child is adoptable.
Families, if you're able to let your hair down a little bit, there's a lot to learn from teenagers.
The clock is ticking for teens at risk of aging out of foster care. Learn how you can help at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Mostly cloudy but still mild today with highs soaring to the mid-50s. Rain in the morning wants to mix with sleet late morning and flips to all snow by the afternoon. Right now it looks like a couple of inches throughout the day and then another couple of inches at night. I'd say expect around 2 to 5 in total.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Right now, it's 55 degrees.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
What do you think about Donald Trump firing 80,000 employees of the VA? Steve from Madison, also a veteran. I'm hearing from one of our conservative texters saying it's okay because it saves money.
How does it save money if it kills people? I mean, how many suicides are there amongst veterans? How many of our seniors need health care? I mean, you take away money from us and it kills us. That's what it does.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll discuss the upcoming April 1st election with our friends Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio and Trigvi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Tuesday, March 18th, 2025. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. In part two today, we're going to speak with our friends from the United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties. Ben will be with us. Looking forward to that. Right now, I've been looking forward to this. We have Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Matt Zacher in with us right now. Good to see you, Matt. How you been?
I'm good. Thanks for having me again, James. Good to see you.
Always appreciate you being here, man. And I want to send a big shout out to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Do yourself a favor. Go to YouTube, subscribe to their page, and keep up to date on all the things that they are doing. Buy local, support local. That includes our local creatives and the great work being done over there at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Matt, how have you been?
Doing well. It's pretty amazing. We're probably 11 months into it, coming up on not my election, but a year into the term. So it's exciting how fast things move and how many people are doing great things in the community, and days just fly by right now.
You mentioned your term, and I feel like that's a perfect segue into talking a little bit about the decision to what to do with the mayor terms. And this is something that it's got to be a bit of an awkward situation for you as the current mayor. But it is something that I think needed to be addressed.
Yeah. I think the council had brought it up again, and I didn't really have any conversations with them about it. I kind of happy to stay out of that conversation when they asked my opinion at the meeting. I would say, one, I'm fine with it, and if you do decide to change it, please do it after I'm done being mayor. They said, well, if we change it, it would be for the next election, so you'd have to get reelected. So I'm open to that as long as everybody understands this isn't something that I necessarily want or don't want. What I would say is I think it will be beneficial for any mayor coming in to be able to have that. They were looking at 4 years, and I think they kind of narrowed it down to 3 years, which allows it to rotate through the different council elections, so every 2 years, so it would kind of flip-flop, so it wouldn't always be on the same rotation as the same four aldermen. So I think that that's good, and it would give any mayor a chance to just get their feet really wet and see a vision and be able to work towards it. Otherwise, you know, 2 years comes really, really fast. I mean, the 1 year that flew by already, I'd be looking already at, you know, talking about re-election. And either way, you know, it would work out either way. But I think it gives the mayor a chance to really dive in and know what they're working with, because it does take time. So I think they've already kind of agreed to pass it, and they're just working through the ordinance now. And sounds like it's going to go through. And so it'd be the next election cycle.
And that would be changing the current mayor from 2 years to 3 years.
Yeah, 2 years to 3 years. And I understand the other side. People say, well, if we really don't like you, we want to get rid of you faster. I'm like, well, that's good too. But hopefully we always have a decent selection of people running for mayor that we don't dislike them that much, that we can give them 3 years to really help the community out. So.
And that's a tricky situation, because usually we don't dislike our politicians until they're in office. I'm joking.
You know, so you never know.
When it comes to this, right away, I think that it was important that we had this conversation, let alone what's actually happened with it. Yeah. And I think, like anything we're going to talk about, there are positives and negatives to it. But I think what it comes down to, what I hope that it comes down to for most people, is what is best for everybody.
Yeah.
Not just one individual or a certain group of people. And when it comes to the pluses and minuses of this, I feel like the pluses of putting it into a 3-year stretch here, if I can,
yeah. Is more positive for the community, yeah. as well as the person being elected.
Yeah, I think not only just for, you know, the mayor that's getting elected, but for the 230 employees that work inside the organization that are always on a little bit of an edge of not knowing who's coming next and what their vision will be and how hard they're going to push to make changes. So I think continuity is a good thing to some degree, but at the same time, it is government and it will become very complacent. And complacency is never really a great position to be in, especially when you're going through the significant amount of change that our community is going through right now in terms of the economy and where we're going. And it's got to be much more nimble in terms of how we get from where we are now to where we're going to be in the future. And the government kind of has to lead the way. So if they're just kind of, hate to say, fat and happy and, you know, just kind of status quo, then you got to shake it up a little bit and get people to realize that, hey, you still have an important job to do, and we got to use this money wisely. So,
and we hire individuals to do this job. We need to give them the tools and the ability to do the job. You know, having 2 years to do it, as you mentioned, previous mayors have done very well with that, I'm sure, and re-elections and all these things. But you've done a really good job, I think, whether it's intentional or not, of kind of giving us a little behind the curtain look of some of this. And you just mentioned before that you're 11 months in, and how what a whirlwind it's been, how fast it's gone.
Right.
It's hard to get a lot accomplished in that amount of time. At the same time, I will say, a credit to you, a credit to, you know, at least every mayor I've gotten a chance to interview in this job and everything. You guys get work done.
Yeah.
I think it is very noteworthy. I talk to individuals all the time, and I like to do my own surveys with people and everything. And one of the main things that I've been hearing over the last 11 months is, whoa, where did this business come from? And when did these guys get to town and that kind of thing? Again, this is nothing against previous regimes or anything like that. Different time, every day is a different set of circumstances. Given that, there has been an influx of business in this town. There has been, it is very noticeable.
Yeah.
You don't even have to be driving down A Street to see it. You can see it in all kinds of different areas.
Yeah.
So to give you the opportunity to do more of that and to see that full vision, you know, completed, I think that's a big important part of why we elected you and why we elected the next person or what have you, is so that they can complete that vision.
Right. Yeah. And again, I give all the credit, and rightly so. It all comes down to the people that are willing to take the risks, to, you know, blood, sweat, and tears to put into a business that, you know, no, you don't have a safety net. Like every, you know, if you're doing it, you're doing it on your own, you know, with your loved ones, and you're making things happen. And all I want everybody to know is I support you 100%. Like I can't do it for you. I can support you. I can make sure the city takes care of their business and then gets out of the way as soon as possible so that you can do it as and take the stress off as much as possible. So the more people that are doing it, the better off we are as a community. And I love the fact that people are doing it and taking the risks and making the investments and you know, really building up our economy from the bottom up, which is how it's got to be.
One of the ways we can build that economy up, make our community better, is certainly those of us in the community reaching out and filling out the survey that is up there right now.
Yep.
There is a survey at the website, wirapids.org. Encourage you to bookmark that. Government priorities survey. What can people expect with this survey? And there is a lot of different ways for people to take it, by the way. I do want to mention that real quick. As far as just testing it out over the weekend and everything, there's a QR code you can scan if that's the way you like to do it. There's a website you can go to. It's pretty basic. But when it comes to the survey itself, what is the importance of this? Why do we need people to fill this out?
Well, it started out as, you know, my part of my platform is just communications and understanding how we build the organization strong enough, communicating with each other so that we can then in turn take it out to the community and make sure that we are doing what they need us to do within the confines of, yes, we have rules to follow. That's kind of, you know, a big part of the government. So we're kind of playing by the same set of rules. And so we did the mission, vision, values with the department heads to get their input. We went out to all the employees, 230 employees. We got their input. We took it to the aldermen to get their insight as to where they're at. They said, let's take it to the community, which was our next kind of on the, you know, next thing to do anyways. Joe Bachman here with WRCM and Emily Kent have done a good job working together to put this out to the community and get it out there so that we can get their feedback as to what they see as our priorities and how we want to set up the government for the next 2, 5, 10 years, 20 years, to make sure we're being as impactful as we can for them and where that goes. And that opens up the bigger understanding of the website that we're working towards, so that we can be more communicative. It's going to be a much more up-to-date on your phone. You know, my goal is to get this app, or at least our homepage, on everybody's, first page on their phone. They're drinking coffee. They tap onto the website, so they're getting the information that we're going to be providing to them. We're doing a lot more videos like this and how we get it out there. You know, we want people to know that we're kind of lacking a continuity in terms of how we're getting our information. I'm not talking about, like political opinionization, all that kind of stuff that we deal with all the time. I'm just talking about pure information. This is what's going on in the city, so you know what's coming, whether it's, community development stuff or streets department, and just getting as much of that information out to the people. But again, you got to get it outside of the echo chamber of the government and the small group of people. Like, I need it in 40,000 people's hands on the front page of their phone. So once we get this set up and going, we got to make sure that we do this huge marketing campaign to get this out so that people are using it as a tool and they know that we're here doing what they need and we're able to communicate. You can even ask questions. What are your guys' thoughts on this? And we have a way of getting some of that feedback, because a lot of time, sorry, I'm going off on a tangent a little bit, but like with the ATV UTV thing, I thought it was, in my mind, everybody did a great job doing the democratic process, the representative government. And it all came down to when the people voted on the referendum and they won, to vote it down, creating nothing. And then, perceived government, but certain people, and again, I respect all of them for what they're doing, tried to move it forward. And finally, the silent majority came out. And those are the folks that usually allow the people they vote for to do the talking for them. But at this point in time, they weren't doing the talking for them, and they spoke up. And we want more and more of that. We want to hear from the people, the silent majority, to be able to have a way to speak their opinions and or get their voice out there and heard quickly, so that we can make decisions based on that.
You really, you get what you put into life.
Mm-hmm.
If you want your community better, if you want to be heard, you've got to speak up.
Yeah,
you've got to talk.
Yeah.
This is a way of doing that. I've been adamant about wanting a Simpsons museum in town here for many, many years. And while I am alone on this one, I'm going to keep trying. No, it's we all have our causes or our things that we care about and everything. And every one of them have their individual importance. But the way we treat each other getting these things across is vital. Mm-hmm. It's vital. I've talked about this. I've done about 20 interviews with local candidates and everything for a lot of the election coming up on the 1st. And one of the most consistent things I have with all these candidates, or talking to community members, or if you just look at surveys in our nation, we are tired of the divisiveness.
Yeah.
We are tired of the childish bickering that is going on in not just politics, but into everyday life.
Right.
These surveys are a big help filtering that, a big help of you. You kind of have to be an adult when you're filling this out. You kind of have to treat people with respect the way these things are designed.
Right.
And so I think that they're even more important going forward, especially when you add on to that the communication part of things and how important it is to you and your staff to be understood. How important it is to the community to have reputable sources.
Yeah.
Going to the website, wirapids.org, that is a reputable source you can go to. You know that you can trust that information. I will also put Wisconsin Rapids Community Media in that regard and say that that is trusted information you can go to. These are things that we need in our community, and you can help enhance those things by adding to this survey or just speaking up and making sure that you're heard as an adult.
Yeah, I try to be as cognizant as I can in terms of making sure that this is never about me. Mm-hmm. Granted, you still got to live in your own body, and I'm just as susceptible to, the sins or whatever you want to say as anybody else is. But ultimately, I want everybody around me to make sure that what we're doing is for the benefit of the community. It's not for the benefit of Matt Zacher. Like, we're looking at working with Joe and Taylor at WRCM. We're making a move. It may not pass yet. It's going to come through tonight to just bring them out from underneath the IT department and put them online with the mayor, so that we can talk more about the issues that are, having closer contact and communication to get this information out there faster. And but I also want them to know, like, you have to call me on if you ever feel like, you know, Mayor Zacher's doing this stuff for his own benefit, he's kind of walking too close to the line, tell me. Like, I don't, that's not why I'm here, and it has nothing to do with what I want to try to accomplish. But at the same time, we all have egos we got to deal with. So, you know, by all means, let's make this about the community and let's move forward together as a group of people that are trying to do the best for the entire community.
You have until noon on April 1st to fill out the survey. I encourage you to get on over to wirapids.org and fill that survey out and have your voice be heard. We're speaking with Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Matt Zacher along with our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Matt, one of the other things I wanted to talk about, well, you mentioned doing these videos, and I happened to catch one of them the other day. And in it, you were talking about community development. Mm-hmm. And kind of taking the burden off of code and process for home projects, essentially helping people, homeowners, be able to do the work on their homes or get work done, maybe without as much red tape or, mm-hmm. or some of that. Am I summarizing that pretty well? Or?
Yeah. I think it's any government, especially when it's designed the way ours is. You know, we've been here 150 years, I guess probably 100 years in terms of when the city became Wisconsin Rapids. And you've had aldermen ever since then and mayors since then, and they all vote. That's what they're asking us to do, is vote on stuff. So then you vote and you create stuff that kind of compiles on top of other stuff. And in 2018, we voted on a zoning code where we divided up the city according to what made sense for commercial, residential, industrial, to try to keep things separate, keep people safe, keep the noise down, you know, all good intentions.
Right.
And then on top of that, they said, well, we want to make the city look nice over time so people will want to move here. And, you know, so then you design these codes, or you get a book that says, all right, all these codes are what we're going to follow. Well, you don't really know what's in the book until you actually start having to bring people in, and they're like, I can't get anything done because of the book. And you hear a guy, Kyle Kearns, has the best intention, but he's very black and white. Like, this is the book. You hired me to follow the book. If you want me to do something different, change the book. So what we're doing right now is we're changing the book, and we're looking back at ordinances. We're trying to lighten up things so that people can, one, kind of more enjoy themselves without feeling so overburdened with that red tape. If they're trying to get projects done, we're voting out a lot of stuff that has been overburdensome, and trying to get that stuff removed. Some people say just get rid of the whole book. I kind of see it on both sides. Like, we still want some continuity. We want some kind of playbook, I guess, is the best thing I can come up with, and move forward like that. But again, once we see things that are inhibitive and don't make any sense at all, then let's get rid of them. Like, that's what we're there for, is to make new votes on things, to say, okay, this isn't working. Let's change it. We don't have to stick with it. You know, it's not... That's what the beauty of this is. We continue to vote. If something isn't working, we change it. And if something new is needed, we vote on it. So it's kind of a beautiful process, as long as we don't overburden ourselves with red tape that is kind of meaningless in the end.
I don't know how much time you or Joe spend in Arizona, but just to give you guys a heads up, in Arizona on Sundays, it is illegal to ride a horse backwards and trying to fish.
There you go.
Just so you guys know, anytime. There are laws on our books that are just hilarious to me. It's something that Carl and I used to do on our morning show, where we just find these old laws that are still around. And if you actually were doing that, you could actually get in trouble for it and stuff. Mm-hmm. I bring it up as a point of what we're talking about here, and how the best of intentions, but time changes, things grow. And we need to adapt to those, and making sure that these things are done right. Certainly don't want anybody to be able to, you know, on the front lawn, they want to put a racetrack. You know, you can't necessarily do something like that.
Right.
But
we
also want to give people, homeowners, the ability to, like you said, have fun, do these projects, especially with the rise of, do-it-yourself projects and some of these things.
Right.
So it's a great note. I also think you're getting maybe even ahead of something like this. Maybe we're late to it for some, but to me, I think you're getting ahead of this a little bit. I know that every one of my friends, I got a lot of people who live out in California, and they love it out there. But one of my friends wanted to try to put up some solar panel. It wasn't even the size of this board here.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say it's been about 7-8 years.
Yeah.
They've been trying to get that done. And very little progress.
Yeah.
So I don't think that you were alone in this, in wanting to get a little bit, you know, less red tape and make it a little bit more simplified, if I can say.
Right. Just caveat on that. Everybody has to understand, there isn't this boogeyman, there isn't this conspiracy in the government. This is just people that represent you at the time that made decisions. And again, we can fix them if we work together and say, these are the issues we're running into, let's fix them versus saying, it's your fault. We've talked about it enough. Some people just kind of, they make their social media career about, being negative in my opinion. And it is what it is. And again, I've always reached out to them and said, give me a call and let's talk, cause it's way better than this. But at the same time, that's what sometimes social media is designed for right now.
Well, and there's a perfect example of if you do you want to be a dog that's just barking or do you want to be heard? Now, you can tell real quickly what type of person that is. And to anybody out there reading those posts or anything like that, you can tell yourselves right away. Yeah. If this person is not reaching out, if they're not following up, if they're not answering your calls or something like that, that's just a dog that wants to bark.
Right.
They don't actually want to get anything done. Yeah. The people that want to get stuff done are filling out that survey, are reaching out to you personally. Yeah. These things don't have to necessarily be posted on all of social media.
Right.
If you really want to be heard, wouldn't you go right to the source? Yeah. I know that if I got a problem with my dad, I go right to my dad. I don't post about it.
Yeah. Let's talk.
Yeah.
I mean, we got to be human beings.
The Wisconsin Rapids Public Works Department recently received an award for excellence in snow and ice control from the American Public Works Association. That had to feel pretty good for the team. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I talk a lot with Paul and Cody and Matt down there at the streets, and they do a great job just looking ahead and seeing what they can do, understanding the issues. They invited me to one of the conferences on the salt and the fact that it's a real issue, that salt, one way or the other, is going to end up in our water. And if the salt content of our waters continues to increase, we're going to be hurt because it's not something you can easily take out, at least not inexpensively. So, again, I know that makes its way downstream, eventually ends up in the ocean where there's a bunch of salt anyways, but there's still a fact remains that we don't want to continue down that path. So they're doing a lot of brining, which is a lot less salt because it's way more efficient instead of just tossing salt. They try to control that salt when they're laying it down, but the brine, you can't beat that. And there's other, solutions out there, but they're more costly. And then you're dealing with other kind of chemicals. So dealing with what we have right now, which is, and there is, the other side of that, which is people have grown very, and I say like used to,
yeah,
that's spoiled. Just used to the fact
accustomed.
That, yeah, that we pretty much, like it snows and our roads are clean. I mean, that's big in terms of what the streets department is able to do. And they're doing, they're up, they're on it right away. They're safe to drive on. That's unheard of, no matter how much snow comes down, we're able to drive on our streets within a few hours, and that's pretty impressive. So we got to give those guys a lot of credit for the entire streets department, garbage, all the pickups that they're doing, the construction that we got, the engineers that are designing it. I mean, we have a great, great government, and we own a lot of valuable departments that are doing great things for us every day. So I'll talk more about that over the next coming year and just diving into those departments and what they do for us. So
looking forward to it. Looking forward to hanging out again next month as well. Matt, if people have follow-up questions, would like to know more, reach out to you, how can they do that?
I got a new cell phone with the city, 715-315-2925. I like the fact that that's easy to remember.
It's very easy. Yeah, that's very easy to remember. I encourage you to do that, everybody. And again, keep in mind, you can find out more about the things Matt and I have talked about today, along with budget summary and plenty of other things, and that survey at wirapids.org, wirapids.org. And be sure to go to YouTube and subscribe and follow along with our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. We appreciate you doing that. Buy local support the local arts. We will come back with more show, Midday Magazine, right here on 97.5 FM WFHR.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
1849, ban on abortions. Which, by the way, what is squat about that?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
What is squat about that?
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
What is squat about that?
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin's Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call is joining a multi-state lawsuit to prevent the U.S. Education Department from being shut down. Here's Joanne Krulotz.
Democrat Call, along with 20 other attorneys general, are asking a federal judge to prevent President Trump and billionaire Elon Musk from shuttering the agency. Trump announced Tuesday that he would be firing 50% of the department, accusing its workers of not coming to the job. AG Call says the lives and education of students should be preserved over tax breaks for billionaires. The AGs argue that Trump's order overrides Congress's control on the education department's budget.
The man who claimed the TikTok ban, supported by a Wisconsin congressman, as the reason for setting fire to that congressman's office, appeared in court this week. Lisa Hale has details.
A psychiatric evaluation has been ordered for 19-year-old Caden Stakowitz of Menasha after he pleaded not guilty and not guilty because of mental disease or defect Monday on charges that he set fire to U.S. Representative Glenn Grothman's Fond du Lac office in January. If Stakowitz goes to trial with the not guilty because of mental disease plea, the jury would first determine if he's guilty. And then if he is, a second phase of the trial would determine if he suffers from mental disease. Stakowitz's next appearance in court will be a status conference May 12th.
Fire danger is still high today. Fires in Richfield and Princeton burned a total of 10 acres yesterday, as well as south in Westfield and Caledonia. Fires were started from debris burning and spreading fast, charring multiple acres each. High grass and dead vegetation paired with gusty, dry winds can cause fire to spread rapidly. Burning permits are still suspended across most of the state today. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Despite some well-reviewed films, it was a pretty lackluster weekend at the box office. The weekend proved to be the lowest grossing theater totals of the year so far, with prognosticators surprised that a spring break weekend at the box office came in even lower than Super Bowl weekend by about $1 million. Novocaine led the way with a little more than $8 million at the gate. The film stars Jack Quaid as a man who does not feel pain while trying to rescue his kidnapped girlfriend. Last week's champ, Mickey 17, finished in second place with $7.5 million and $33 million for the two-week total. Steven Soderbergh's new spy thriller, Black Bag, finished with $7.5 million, but on about 1,100 less screens than Mickey 17. Rounding out the top five are Captain America, Brave New World, which pulled in over $5 million, and The Day the Earth Blew Up, the first Looney Tunes movie ever made for a theatrical release, with a disappointing just over $3 million. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, the wind picking up, a low in the low 30s. Winter weather advisory for tomorrow, snow, some mixed rain early, and accumulations of 1 to 3 inches, heavier totals to the north and west with a winter storm warning. Gusts above 40 miles an hour with blowing snow. Currently 57 degrees.
The madness.
Blackwell inside, and he sends it down with the right hand.
Starts.
Tanjay with bad intentions.
Now.
Long three, left side, bucket.
It's the NCAA tournament. Join us Thursday, live from Denver, Colorado. It's Wisconsin and Montana. Our coverage begins at 11:30 on your home for Wisconsin basketball.
To the rim. Slam dunk, Carter Gilmore.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Folks, we've got to talk about Derek Van Orden. The second-term congressman representing Wisconsin's 3rd District is at it again, dodging public meetings and making all kinds of unhinged comments. As many scramble and struggle to understand the chaos of what's happening in Washington, D.C. and how it's impacting people here in Wisconsin, Van Orden has been as frustrating and disrespectful as ever. In one instance, Van Orden took to social media to berate a veteran who had been fired from his job at the VA by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. And the veteran in question is simply someone who was just reaching out to his congressman, looking for answers. Van Orden's office has also hastily canceled public meetings, and he has made some especially wild accusations about people who have been attending these public events. Congressman Van Orden needs to stop this unhinged madness, and more importantly, be more available and accountable to his constituents.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. Pat Kreitlow.
On Wednesday, don't miss our weekly Climate Check report with Melissa Baldoff at 6:30, and at 7:30, our homeroom segment on the value of public schools in our state.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Tuesday, March 18th, 2025. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here, and I am joined right now by our good friend, Ben Eberlein, Community Engagement Director with the United Way of Southwood and Ames Counties. Ben, good to have you in studio, man.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me, James.
It's been a while, it feels like. It's been too long.
It always feels like too long.
Terry, always taking up all the time. No, she's going to hit me now. She's going to smack me in the head, and rightfully so. We are here to talk about the United Way and some great things going on with our United Way in our community. And Ben, I wanted to start off, if you don't mind, with the calendar raffle going on.
It's right around the corner. Mm-hmm. April's knocking on the door.
It really is. It's right there. It's waiting for us. What can people expect from the calendar raffle this year?
Absolutely. So, as always, it's a fantastic way to support the community, but you also get a chance to win some money. Who doesn't love that, right?
Yeah, that's a great win-win situation.
So, yeah, thanks to our sponsors. We've got a lot of great partners in the community that have sponsored a day, you know, on the calendar. So you can win anywhere $75, $100, $150 even. And then, you know, if you win, your name goes back in. So in the past, we've had plenty of people win more than once. So it's a fun way to, you know, support the community. But just so people are aware, you know, exactly what we're talking about, you can buy raffle tickets anytime, you know, even I would suggest getting them sooner than later.
Yes.
But yeah, the calendar raffle runs the whole month of April, and you can get your tickets $10 each or three for $20 by reaching out to United Way.
And when it comes to finding out if they won or not, you guys post it on Facebook?
You're a pro. You've got this. You've done this before. Exactly. Please, you know, like, follow, subscribe. I'm not a streamer. I don't know how to do all that stuff.
No, but
yes,
you're right. Exactly.
Check out our Facebook. Make sure you're getting updates on those. If you can see who wins daily, just so that you can keep track of that. And you'll be, you know, if you are a winner, I should say when you win, you'll also be contacted by United Way. We'll send out the information on that. So yeah, absolutely. But you got to play to win. So,
yeah.
So get your tickets.
Well, and every year I try to talk to you guys. Are you sure you want to do it this way? Where even if your name gets thrown back in there and everything, that's such a cool, unique thing about this raffle. I don't know that there's a ton of raffles that do things like that. I think that's a really fun part of this. So you really do get not only your money's worth through that, but as anything we're talking about with the United Way, 100% of the proceeds go right back into your community. So you really can't lose at this raffle. It's one of those raffles where there's no losing. You know, maybe you can win a little bit more than you normally do, but you already win just by purchasing a raffle ticket.
Yeah, exactly. I think a lot of time with the, you know, when you win a 50-50, there's an expectation, you donate some of that back, right?
Yeah.
Well, in this case, you don't have to worry about it because you know your money's already been donated. So yeah, it's a great way to have a little fun.
Encourage you to find out about that more. We'll give you the information of how to get into the raffle coming up. And as Ben mentioned, you can pick up raffle tickets at the United Way. Are they, can you pick them up already, or do you have to wait until April 1st?
You can get them anytime.
Right away.
Absolutely.
So. Yeah. Wow. Very cool. Get on down there and check it out, everybody. Ben, I also wanted to talk a little bit about the book drive going on and collecting books.
Yeah, thank you. As most folks probably already know, we do our great book giveaway in June. So the week, you know, following school letting out to kick off the summer and make sure that we're getting books into children's hands so that they have things to read at home and prevent that summer slide. The big thing is we need to have books to be able to give those away. So during the month of April, we encourage community members, you know, get some spring cleaning done. Get rid of those old, good condition, gently used children's books that you have, or, you know, head out, grab some brand new books that you want to donate. There's always fantastic sales on those going on. So feel free to, like I said, clean out some gently used children's books and donate those to United Way. You can bring them to our office during the month of April, and then those will be given away to children who can use those during our great book giveaway events in June.
Recently became a first-time papa, a first-time grandpa. I am going to take every opportunity I have to mention that and drop that, but also bring it up because got me also, of course, buying kids' books again. Haven't done that in a while. My nephews are a little bit older, so I haven't had to buy them books in quite a while. And first book I went out and bought was Goodnight Moon. It's the same one my mom bought for me and my sister and my brother when I was little and everything, so I wanted to do that for my daughter's little guy. But when I was doing it, I thought of the book drive, and I thought about these things. And I'm glad you mentioned this about new books, because there's a real simple test to tell if a book is good for the book giveaway. Does your kid read the book still? Is it in good enough condition to where they can still have fun with it and everything? That's a pretty good test right there. Certainly giving it a once-over isn't a bad idea either. We are talking about kids. You know, they can be a little bit messy. So can adults. But they can be a little messy with these things. So it's good to go over that. But if you are inclined going and picking up a book like I was, we do encourage you to pick up an extra copy and maybe donate it to the book drive. We talk about this with whether it's Imagination Library or it's some other things going on with the United Way and even other areas looking to really keep kids reading and keep fresh on that reading and keep up to date on it. So as you mentioned, that summer slide doesn't happen. This is for many reasons. Reading's fun. Reading is an adventure. Reading is a great hobby and a great pastime and so many of these things. But it's also integral to no matter what position or what field these kids go into. Whatever they're going to do, reading's probably going to be a part of it, whatever field or job they do. When you're donating these books, you are giving kids an opportunity to have fun, you know, have some, avoid that summer slide and some of those things, but you're also making a direct impact on our future and helping them build confidence in reading, helping them find love and joy of reading, which can only encourage them more in whatever field they go into to be better equipped for it. This is an investment. It really is. And it's a fun investment too, by the way. It's, you know, it isn't like stock market or anything where it's boring and you're just sitting on the edge of your seat the whole time. You know right away, once you purchase one of these books, I'm getting a return on my investment. I automatically do just by a kid getting this book.
I love that you mentioned, gauging, you know, how readable some of the books are. Because I know from experience that, and I'd be lying if I said there weren't some chew marks even on books.
Right, yeah,
and
yeah.
Not from our dogs. No, and I love that. And what you mentioned about when you're getting books for your kid, I think that's so much fun. That's one of my, really a highlight for me when I'm, you know, thinking of books that, man, I really love reading this book with my kid. I want to pass that feeling along. Mm-hmm. I want to give this book. I'm going to go buy a copy or two or three and you know, give them to people that I know are going to love that. And man, you're going to have so much fun with your grandbaby.
Oh yeah, I can't wait. Oh yeah, I cannot wait. Yeah, it's very excited. And reading to them is one of those things that's so exciting. I'm glad you brought that up because it's also encourage people to be a part of the reading program when that comes up and reading with kids and everything. We'll talk more about that certainly as we get closer to it. But that's something that is another way for community members to be involved with this and helping kids with literacy and just keeping up on reading and so much of that.
Exactly. So we'll have, we're just finalizing the details right now, but mm-hmm. We should have another 10 events this year spread out across Southwood and Adams County. So trying to make sure that we're reaching, the entire community and bringing books to them and giving them opportunities to get, to get that engagement and, hear some stories from our volunteer readers. We've had some stellar volunteers in the past. I don't want to name names, James. But if people are interested in getting involved that way as well, that's a fantastic way to do that. And then you do get to pick out your favorite kids book and bring that to read to the children before they get to pick from the books to take home.
It's a fun opportunity for you and the individuals out there. We'll talk about this a little bit more when we get closer to it. And I certainly want to remind everybody, you can go to uwswac.org to find out more information about all the things Ben and I are talking about here, like Community Shred Day. Community Shred Day, another one of those events that you guys host that is always vital to the community and important to the community in so many ways where I know people, at least I can think of two different people that wait and hold these documents until Community Shred Day comes. I am very certain that they're not the only two individuals that do, as you guys fill up pretty quick over there. Community Shred Day is Thursday, April 17th. I want to tell people a little bit more about this.
Yeah, very popular event, absolutely. So, as you mentioned, Thursday, April 17th, and that's going to be between 9 a.m. and noon over at Prevail Bank. So, if you want to come out and participate in that, you can bring up to two boxes for free. If you have more than that, you can do that, but we appreciate the $5 donation per box. box after that. But yeah, I would, you know, come out early. They are, all the documents are shredded. They're on site. So there is a limit to what they can handle in terms of, you know, the total capacity of shredding. So make sure you get it on your calendar for April 17th and bring your sensitive documents out for shredding.
It's a great resource for people to know for certain those documents are you know, eviscerated, and they're done, they're taken care of and everything. And especially, you know, when I first started talking with Terry and talking with the United Way and everything, I would say about 9 years ago or so, this was an important thing, and it meant a lot to the community, and it made people feel a comfort, a calm with this. I don't know if it's ever been more important than now in 2025. Not even just because of the fear of losing, you know, your information or your identity or any of these things, but the comfort of it has never been better for people to know. I'm not going to some big business or something out of state or trusting some invisible source or what have you. I'm seeing it right in front of me happen, and I'm going to local people that are invested in me, invested in my community, to make sure that my information is completely sealed and taken care of. I don't know if it's this event has ever been more vital to our community than now in 2025. And again, the Community Shred Day is Thursday, April 17th, 9 to 11. This will be taking place over at our friends over at Prevail Bank. Appreciate them. And want to thank, of course, Bank Account Corp and Prevail Bank for sponsoring this, being a part of this event, and helping our community feel a little more comfortable, a little safer. We're speaking with our friend Ben from the United Way of Southwind and Ames Counties. And Ben, one of our favorite times of the year, I know for you and I, is building these teams and getting more and more prepared for that, this big event coming up.
Yes, the teams that you speak of are United We Can. So for folks that are not familiar with the event, it's a food drive event. It is such a fun time. We, you know, work with a bunch of fantastic community partners who put together a team of volunteers that design a sculpture that they build entirely out of non-perishable food items. And it is incredible, the creativity that people bring to the table and some of the sculptures that we've seen. And it's even more amazing when you realize just how much food is involved and how much food is leveraged for the food programs in our community. We're lucky to partner with the Rafters, because this all takes place at Witterfield. So it's a really fun time. We get, last year we had, I believe, seven teams.
I was going to say, was it 17? Yeah. We had a good turnout.
It was fantastic. So, anybody who attends the Rafters game on that night, this year's event is going to be on Tuesday, June 17th. So anybody who's attending that game, gets to come by and see the sculptures, in person. And then, we have some amazing community judges that come out and, award, based on most nutritious and, most creative. And mm-hmm. then the fans that are in attendance get to vote on, their choice for just their favorite. So we, provide those awards on field, during the game. So it's a really fun time. We get to, get those team members then out on field, which, I don't know, not everybody can say that they've been on field at a Rafters game.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool.
It is. It's a great feeling. And I have to say too, when it comes to this event, it's a perfect place to have this at Witterfield with the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. Something we talk about with our River Kings and Rafters all the time. We love competition. We love winning. We love these individual sports and everything. But this community shows its love. Even what they love truly is an organization that cares about its community and puts into its community. I think the Rafters, River Kings, walk that line perfectly of being competitive and wanting to win while also put into their community. There is no one is a ahead of the other. It's 1A, 1B when it comes to these organizations and the way that they treat the community and winning and just competition in general. So with this event, yes, we're coming together because we want to help out those in need. We want to help those that are one of the my oldest causes for me and my family is helping those in need with hunger. It's the number one goal here. But there's also a little competition between these nonprofits and some of that and everything that the individuals like myself that are fortunate enough to judge on these things or the community community and those in attendance get to judge on. So you have a little fun competition involved with it, while also knowing that there is no losing in this regard. Whether you win one of these cool awards or not, you've already won. You've put into your community. For every person that comes to the game and wants to see the Raptors come home with a W, you already won by bringing a non-perishable food item. You helped out a community member. Strangers helping strangers. Neighbors helping neighbors. That's what this is all about.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the donation item as well. So the Raptors, incredible. They're doing a really, really fun giveaway, basically. If anybody wants to bring a non-perishable food item with them to a game, donate that to the Raptors contributed to our United We Can event. Starting with opening day until through the 17th, you can bring a non-perishable item as a donation, and you'll get a free ticket for the game on the 17th. Then come back on the 17th of June and see all the sculptures in the event. You mentioned, you know, how amazing it is as a partner organization to have a team, and, you know, it feels amazing to be able to partner. But for those, I mean, we have, businesses, other nonprofits, we have, churches and just community, members that form groups. So, I mean, if you're thinking, no, there's no excuses. Anybody can come out and grab a couple friends or family. It's a really good time. All you got to do is, collect some food or, go buy some if you want. You got a specific design in mind. You need a lot of red cans. You can just buy a couple flats of cans and, make your design come to life and then, feel good as people are coming through and admiring all your hard work.
And when I talk to people about this, especially when my mom was working at Macmillan and they would talk about this and they were looking forward to this, but there was some, a nervousness too about, I don't know what we're going to create or something like that. I can't stress enough. I promise you, once you get together, the ideas will flow. You'll come up with something. It's so much more important to be a part of the event. And I do have to say too, to businesses, to nonprofits out there, there is no better PR you can get than associating yourself with a nonprofit. Even if you are a nonprofit, associating with yourself with another nonprofit. The amount of not only good PR you get, which you cannot put a price on. There's no PR team in the world that can tell you, hey, spend this much money and you're going to get good PR. Nothing can give you that other than actually doing it. Being a part of that is a great opportunity. Community members coming by and seeing your business there, it's free advertising, man. I mean, it's business 101, marketing 101. It's a great opportunity for that and all those things. And then you went on top of that. These individuals we're talking about, community members seeing, hey, that's a business. That's a nonprofit that puts in our community. That's a place that wants to be a Rapids to be a better place, that wants to help out those in need. All of this stuff, any marketing executive will tell you, you can't put a price on that. So you're all of those things, along with just feeling good, the fun competition of this. It's such a great event, and I cannot encourage you enough to be a part of it. Ben, are we already collecting? We are collecting teams right now, right?
Anybody that is interested in submitting a team, registering, please contact me, reach out to United Way. You can register, anytime now through, as we get closer to the event. But if you register by May 1st, you'll actually even be entered in an early bird drawing. So nice. We'll get you an extra package of tickets for your team to enjoy the Craft River or, one of the other ticket packages at the Rafter. So you can go to a game later this year and celebrate your victory then. One other thing I just want to, on top of the positive, there's a lot of different positives for teams to compete and participate in this, but you and I talk a lot about Alice, right? And so I think that's just something that I'm never going to stop beating that drum. And just the fact that, we often just think of poverty as, a smaller portion of our community that is, it is what it is, right? But what we don't realize is for every household in Wood County, in our community, for every household that's in poverty or living at an income level that's below what the federal, guidelines are for what they consider poverty. There's another two additional households in our community that are struggling to get by. They're either living paycheck to paycheck or not making ends meet. So what we, when you put those together, I mean, you're talking a third of our community that they're at times are maybe experiencing, hunger. Those are families and households and individuals that you're directly impacting.
Yeah.
We're so lucky, so fortunate to have such strong community and partners and participation in this event that since 2013, we've leveraged over 83,000 pounds of food. I mean,
That's incredible.
That's to be coming kind of in the ballpark of the 100,000 mark. Man, that is.
It's incredible. And those, just to piggyback on what you're saying there with those families, the majority of those families statistically have kids. And this goes right back to what I was saying about literacy and investing in our future and everything. These kids are getting food that they might not get otherwise, which helps their brains, helps them grow, helps them become a better, become adults and all this other thing. It's a domino effect that you're impacting here just by donating food, just by a can of food, what that can do and where that can lead. It's a great point by you as well with the Alice Report. I appreciate you bringing that up. As we are wrapping up, Ben, I did want to remind everybody about our community help guides that are available.
Thank you. Yeah, we're ahead of the game, I think, this year. Yeah, we've got it is a priority for us to get that information out in the community, make sure that it's updated, and so that information is available to folks who might need that as soon as we can every year. But so everybody's aware, our 2025 help guides are available. They're out. They're in the community. So if your organization or your company, whatever it is, you know, if you don't have them and you feel like, hey, this would be a great resource, we want to have these brochures, these information, it's a free resource for the community, let us know. Reach out to United Way. We can get you some help guides, and you can have them at your location for folks who might come through and need whatever it is. It's kind of a compendium of a real quick list of all the various resources that are free in our community. So it's a fantastic resource. Let us know if you need them.
And especially to anybody new to town, I think these are a great resource for you, especially if you're new to town, as well as 211. I encourage people to spread the word about that one, too. And if you know anybody new in town, get them one of these help guides. Let them know about 211 and let them know about our United Way and all the great work that they are doing here in town. Ben, if people have follow-up questions, want to know more about some of the stuff we talked about today, how can they reach you?
Feel free to give us a call at United Way. The number at the United Way office is 715-421-0390. As always, you mentioned 211. If folks, you know, aren't sure, you know, what they need or how to get, you know, connected with the resources that they need, all you got to do is dial 211 from your phone. It'll connect you with somebody at our local 211 call center or contact center, and they will guide you through that. They will have a conversation with you. It's not like talking with a robot, right?
No.
This isn't AI.
Right. Yes.
You get to talk with a real person in our community that can, you know, speak to the resources that exist here.
I can speak to how helpful it is. It's helped me out at least a couple of times. I encourage you to bookmark that. Bookmark the website, uwswac.org. Keep in mind, 211 is your resource that is available to you. And be sure to follow the United Way on social media. Share their posts on your page. You just never know who might see them otherwise. Encourage you to do that and continue to support our United Way, those that support us. Ben, good to hang out with you, man. We'll talk again real soon.
Thanks. It's always great to be here.
And we'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, he would not be negotiating with the GOP if he was Wisconsin's sitting senator.
I want to clarify, like, I'm always happy to negotiate in good faith, but we're talking about a party that's not acting in good faith. We shouldn't be in a position where we're throwing a life raft to somebody who is hell-bent on sinking the entire ship.
Not something I want to be involved in.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Maggie Dawn.
How do we turn out the vote and get the message across in red counties across Wisconsin ahead of the election on April 1st? We discussed just that at 3 p.m. with the chairs of the Winnebago, Wood, and Marathon County Democratic Party.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. The Todd Alba Show.
L.A. Tom, L.A., what do you got for us?
We do have a woman problem in this country. There is an issue there that needs to be solved if we are ever to have a female president.
Look at Mexico has a president. You know, Margaret Thatcher. It's just all over the world.
You have to remember Margaret Thatcher. They had queens.
Well, we have Lindsey Graham. Come on.
Wow, that's true.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump and Russian President Putin agreed today in a phone call to an immediate pause in strikes in Ukraine, but Ed O'Keefe reports it's on a limited basis.
The Russian president has ordered his military to stop attacking Ukraine's energy infrastructure, which, of course, has been an issue on both sides of the conflict, attacking power plants, nuclear plants.
Putin stopped short of backing a broader 30-day pause. Israel has resumed airstrikes in Gaza, and Israelis are worried about the 24 living hostages still held there.
I have no idea what is going to happen to the remaining hostages if the fighting keeps on going.
Two astronauts are returning to Earth shortly after being stranded for nearly 10 months in space. Astronaut Tom Marshburn.
First thing they're going to notice, and they're going to laugh about it, it's actually quite humorous, how really strong gravity feels. It just is sucking you into your seat. Everything is heavy.
CBS News Brief. I'm Cammy McCormick.
Hi, this is Beth, inviting you to join me for The Kitchens Open, the show within the show, each Monday morning at 9 a.m. on The Morning Show on WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The state has seen 68 wildfires in just the past week, burning 937 acres and counting. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot has more on the biggest blaze in the state in Green Lake County.
In the town of Seneca, the Big Island Fire has burned an estimated 745 acres. Crews were dispatched to the White River Marsh State Wildlife Area right around 4:30 in the afternoon. This is exactly when the winds were gusting up to 40 miles per hour, helping spread the fire, which is currently being held on the south side of County Road D. Two residents have been evacuated, with six